So I just wanted to set out a bit of a logo praxis framework for our work with the text and make a few comments around some definitions of terms and really the nature of divine revelation, so far its properties of accommodation to our states of understanding and being. So the nature of divine revelation is such that it reveals things in a way whereby it can appear to speak of things regarding the world without or the world outside of us, or it can be speaking with regard to the world within us. The truth of the matter is that it speaks of both simultaneously. This is one of the properties of divine revelation, that it has an external focus and an interior focus. So depending on our own state as we approach the text, we will read it in terms of either it's speaking to things without or speaking to things within. But ultimately, its purpose or its function, or if you like, its good, because that's what the function is. Its function is a thing's function is its good, is to take us from where we are at, which in relation to the Lord is always a state relatively exterior, particularly so far as our focus and attention is concerned, and to bring us to what is more interior. So the text seemingly speaks of a universe without, in the hope that it can bring us to seeing the universe within. So the whole purpose of the text is to support the human mind to enter into processes that have to do with the regeneration of the human mind. So really, when it speaks of a universe, we can be talking about, yes, what is without, what we see in terms of the planet and its situation within space, etc. Or we can have our attention drawn to the universe within and the situation of our inner world, our states of affection and thought in relation to the spiritual sun. Everything we see without is a theater of representation, and what is represented without is the universe within. And that universe is a mental universe. It's a universe of consciousness. So everything without presents us with an image, an inverted image of what lies within us. And the laws of divine providence, all those principles that are laid out here in the text, apply simultaneously to the world without and to the world within. But from a logopraxis perspective, our interest isn't so much in the world without. It is actually in the our focus needs to be on the world within, because this is where transformation has to take place. To transform the world without, the world within, the world of human consciousness has to undergo a transformation. So what we see, and this is true of the text as well, the same principle applies. So what we read on the surface of the text is similar to reading the world around us, the universe around us. So it has to do on the surface with exterior things. And we see that there's a number of illustrations given here in the first reading, which demonstrate that. We have the idea of fruits and flowers, the different suns, the external natural sun being pure fire and the interior sun being pure love. So these are all images that are being put in front of the mind. But it needs to be remembered that the goal is always to bring our attention within. This is where the transformation has to take place, and that transformation has to take place in the states of our affections and thoughts. And the text, as it presents itself to us, is the means by which that can happen when we are prepared to engage with it and bring the focus internally. what we see without is a representation or a representative image of the creation process. And the process of creation describes first and foremost the activity of divine love and wisdom within human minds. So the term universe here refers to that which this process of creation brings forth. So the term creation refers to the process, always refers to the processes involved in regeneration from a spiritual point of view. So it's important that we, when we come across this word creation, that that our attention is held both interiorly and exteriorly, so far as the meaning goes. Exteriorly, we hold our attention on what's presenting as a representative image that can support an interior understanding of what creation is. So whenever the term creation occurs in the writings, it is dealing with the regeneration of the human mind. It is not really talking about the creation of the world without. That world offers us a representation of what needs to take place within the human mind. So what does this process of creation involve? Well, it involves bringing into being vessels within which the divine love and wisdom can be held, and through those vessels, a sense of the presence of the Lord and a vision of the Lord can be obtained. So creation always has to do with the bringing forth of what is good and true. And the processes involved in creation, in regeneration, so far as our own experience is concerned, is the uniting of what is termed the will and the understanding into a one, or the uniting of good and truth within the human mind. This is what the creation process involves so far as our focus in logopraxis is concerned. So when we talk about good and truth, and there's a lot of that in here, of course, we are really talking about the will and the understanding. You can superimpose the terms. That's perfectly legitimate to do that. In fact, we're told that in another work called The New Jerusalem and Its Heavenly Doctrine, where terms like good and truth, will and understanding, external and internal, these are all transposable terms. So if we do the transposition of terms, often we will see something that we wouldn't see otherwise, because many of these terms for us have established meanings. The ability to transpose them can offer an opportunity to see something that we wouldn't otherwise. But you'll see that when we talk about good and truth, the will and the understanding, thoughts and affections, we are actually really talking about interior things. We're talking about things that belong to human consciousness, or if you like, states of mind. That's the focus. So just by way of recapping, by the term universe, then we are talking about the universe that belongs to the world of the mind and not the universe as it stands without. Then by the term creation, we are to understand the processes of regeneration and not the bringing into being of material things to form the world around us. So we really want to bring our focus in logopraxis on how these things described in the text actually apply to the world within. We also spoke about the transposition of terms, words like good, truth, will, understanding. You know, these terms can be transposed, and that through transposing them, we can gain insight, literally insight. The other thing I would just like to point out, so far as transposition of terms, a very enlightening term or a very enlightening point of transposition is to wherever the word Lord occurs in the word or in the text, then to replace that with the term word. this pulls our attention more towards seeing the process and application side of things. So, for example, if you just take the text, I'll just take a couple of the propositions maybe. So if we just take proposition 2 in Divine Providence, number 2, it says the divine love and the divine wisdom proceed from the Lord as one. So you could read that as the divine love and the divine wisdom proceed from the Word as one, because the Lord actually is the Word, or the Word is the Lord. And then down to proposition number 7, we have the Lord does not suffer that anything should be divided. Therefore, it must be either in good and at the same time in truth, or in evil and at the same time in falsity. So doing the transposition there, it would be the Word does not suffer that anything should be divided. Therefore, it must be either in good and at the same time in truth, or in evil and at the same time in falsity. So even that that statement there from proposition number 7 describes the process of the Word operating within our mind. So as we engage with the Word, what we will find is that greater and greater sense of distinction can be drawn as to what is of the Lord and what isn't of the Lord. Anyway, I hope that all helps. We can leave it there. And until next time, thank you.